Welcome to the Kumbaya Podcast, where Amanda and Rebecca, twin sisters, naturally minded home birth mamas, and co-founders of Progressive Pregnancy. We're on a mission to help you have a more empowered entrance into motherhood. We'll bring awareness and offer support surrounding pregnancy, childbirth, and the postpartum journey. As a holistic pelvic floor physical therapist, I'll bring valuable insights and guidance during this critical time for your pelvic floor. We'll also bring on other holistic providers, experts, and guests to help you make this huge life transition easier. To learn more, head over to progressivepregnancy.com, or to see show notes and past episodes, visit kumbayalpodcast.com. Are you nervous about the pain of childbirth? If so, you'll want to check out our free Birth Mindset Mastery Move training. You'll discover the one simple move that's the best way to prepare for the pain of labor. This is Amanda. I did this move throughout my second pregnancy, and it's what I teach to my private patients and what we teach moms in Progressive Pregnancy. It can help you build confidence, increase your pain tolerance, and prepare your body for more positive birthing experience. To get access today, go to progressivepelviceducation.com/birth mindset mastery. Welcome back to the Kumbaya Podcast. Rebecca and Amanda here. This is our first little twin talk episode we're going to do. We're going to give you just some short little nuggets of inspiration and motivation and knowledge every once in a while. And today we'd like to talk about why we really think you do not want to work right up until your due date and what you can do instead. So Rebecca and I both worked right up until our due date. We have personal experience with this for our first children. Yes. And so I get it. I hear a lot from patients that, you know, they want to save their PTO for when they are, you know, with their new baby, and they want to just work right up until the due date, into the last possible moment, or even beyond the due date. Some of my patients go until literally they go into labor. They work until they go into labor because you want to maximize your time with the baby after the baby comes. And then there's always, oh, one more thing, one more thing. Oh, I'm just going to, you know, do that one more thing before baby comes. And you just stay so focused on everything you have to get done because you think when the baby comes, then I'll just, relax. Then I can relax. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially for the first, because your baby is not in the world. You don't have any other babies in the world, potentially. And it's really easy to just keep going the way you're going. And a lot of us identify or have our identity wrapped up with our job, and we're planning to go back to the job. So you want to make sure you tie up loose ends. People know what they need to be working on, that you're not leaving fires for your team to put out. It's all understandable, right? And you want it to be set up so it's not a fire when you get back to it in a couple months or even 3 or 4 or 6 months. However time you're taking off, you want it to be a smooth transition for them. And same thing when they put it back on your plate. So we totally get it, especially when you don't have a lot of PTO. We totally get it. But what I see clinically is that when you are not carving out time and making space in your day and in your life for that slowing down that happens with a newborn, they don't know what they're doing. You're learning for the first time. So whether you're bottle feeding or nursing, it takes a long time to feed the baby. And, you know, and it's just like a rinse and repeat cycle every 2 hours, right? So you're doing a lot of sitting around, a lot of slowing down. And that's sometimes hard for people to make that adjustment completely. Oh, the difference between how busy you are and how fast you're going, even when you're pregnant and you're not going as fast as you normally are. When you have a baby, it's like it stops. And that was really hard for me to just go to sitting and nursing a baby almost nonstop, it felt like, you know. And not having practiced that was, I mean, mentally, it was really difficult feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm not getting anything done. I'm not doing anything. And I know you are. I know I was. I'm keeping a human alive. I'm feeding a human, you know, all those things. But that's not what your brain tells you.
Yes. I was really surprised that that was as hard as it was for me.
Agreed.
Because I was mentally so ready for the baby. I was really looking forward to that connection and learning everything I wanted to learn and just the whole experience. But my brain was not used to slowing down, especially with that first birth and that first baby. It was so hard. It's like I have patients all the time tell me, oh, I can't do yoga. I can't meditate because if I only have an hour to work out, I need to feel the burn. I need to sweat. I need to go, go, go. And that is our society. It's go, go, go. We're do and not just be. Well, it's keeping you stressed. It's keeping you in this fight or flight or this high, like anxiety.
Output mode, right?
Exactly.
And
what happened for me was my baby ended up coming a week early. So I was not prepared.
Yeah.
I was so focused on work that I literally didn't have anything set up. I had thrown a baby shower for our best friend the weekend before. So Sunday, I had a bunch of women over to my house for a baby shower. Friday, I leave for work and I end up, my water breaks. You can hear my full story if you go back to a previous episode, we share our stories. But my water breaks as I literally am opening the door. So, and I had the wherewithal, I don't know why, for my husband to drive me to work that day. So by the time we got home, I am in active labor and he is trying to rush around to get the room cleared where I was going to have my baby, set up the birth pool. And every 5 minutes, or whatever, I'm like, push on my back. It was just not.
And you're having a home birth, so you think
experience.
You wouldn't have to have a car ride anywhere. And yet you threw the car ride in there.
I know.
Oh, so funny.
Not comfortable. Yeah. And so, right. And I think I have definitely seen many patients who were really fit, like holding their baby in. They were mentally, you know, just worried about work and tying up loose ends at work. And so focused on work that the baby takes a little longer because their body really is not feeling safe and not feeling like things are ready in their space. I can't say that for certain, right? But, you know, looking back, they're going past due. They're trying to work up to the very end. That was me. Hello. I worked up. My due date was December 18th. I worked, and I think it was like a Monday. So 17, 16. Yeah. I worked till December 15th, the Friday right before my due date.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, and really, I think part of why I was so late with that first one was because I was not ready mentally. And she, I went 12 days past due with my first baby. And I know it was because I was mentally not ready. I was even, and really, I had those 12 days. That was the first time that I could slow down and let myself nest. And I just kind of unplugged from work. And it took that long, right?
To de-stress.
And well,
it's interesting that you were late for your first, which I think is more common for first births, where I was a week early.
Right.
And so either way, it's not a great situation. Do you mean if we had taken more time to practice resting, practice checking in with our body?
I was not checking in with my body. Well, you had that week working from home and sitting on the Swiss ball.
Yeah, that
did. And I think that really helped your pelvis open and help baby engage and things like that. Yeah,
that's true. I did. Mm-hmm. I did work 3 days that week.
And with my second, it was COVID times, right? So Annika was born in late May and the world shut down in March.
2020, yeah.
Right? So no one was going to work. Everyone kind of stopped working. And so I was doing a lot of virtual visits. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting on a Swiss ball, bouncing my way away as I'm talking to patients over the computer. And I ended up going 5 days early or before my guest date, right, with her. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder if it's because everything slowed down. I mean, I was doing everything so much differently with her too, which is, you know, why we came up with our program, just the growth that I had with that experience. But yeah, so I've seen that. And people think, oh, no, you know, your mind over body. No, it absolutely makes sense, right? That your body is going to respond to your surroundings, to your mental state. And that's one of the negatives, I think, of working right up until your due date or until you actually go into labor is you're not letting your body transition. You're not letting your mind prepare for this huge life event and this transformative time for your family, for you. Your body, it's really an incredible time. And I think if we can, you know, give ourselves space for that, it's so powerful. And then our suggestions for you is, you know, what do you do with that time? If you think, okay, well, I can't just sit around all day. My house already is clean. I don't really need to do any nesting per se. We've been doing a little bit along the way. Well, there are some really great things that you could be doing with your time, which neither of us did. And in retrospect, mm-hmm. we're like, whoo, we could have totally been using our time better. One of our top recommendations is meet with a lactation consultant. Even if it's just virtually, and if you don't have time to meet with them person to person, carve out that time during pregnancy to pick your team. And that is a number one person. Well, there's a lot of number one that we would suggest, but that's one of the top ones to have them give you any information that you can get before baby arrives, before you're sleep deprived and hormonal and stressed out and Potentially. Hopefully it's going to be a smooth transition, but things, you know, you just don't know how it's going to be when the baby arrives. So that's always good to have it set up. And then you have them on speed dial, or you have them where you can text them questions. You can feel comfortable reaching out to them when you're in a very vulnerable state in those first few days. Really, that's when we both needed lactation help, Rebecca with her first and me with my second. Yeah, it was within that first 2 weeks. You think things are going well, and then you realize, oh, baby's losing too much weight or hasn't gained it back, or the pee diapers are declining and they should be increasing. And you kind of course correct. And having them on your team is, especially for me with my second, again, it was COVID time, super stressful. And I didn't have any breastfeeding issues with my first, but I did with my second. And having my best friend be my lactation consultant was amazing because she came right out. And it was in between pediatrician visits. And I remember that was what stressed me out the most. We had a pediatrician visit and we were going to go the whole weekend to the middle of the next week before I saw her. And they said, oh, she's gaining weight fine. She's doing great. And then I noticed her pee diapers were going down, mm-hmm. you know, in quantity. You kind of keep track of how many times you're changing the diaper, what it looks like, all this. And so I was giving my friend all those nitty gritty details. And she's like, I'm coming right over and addressed the issue and helped me right away. And it was such a huge difference, made such a huge difference.
Absolutely. Because finding someone when you're already stressed and then you're having to find someone, you know, she came to your house, and which there are lactation consultants who can do that. So finding someone who you know is willing to do that in case you need it, or you have them coach you on what to do and when to call them. So you have that a little bit calmer mind and peace of mind knowing, okay, I have a game plan. I know what I can do and I know when to call in support. It really helps. It helps you in that transition. And yeah, it's Beyond Birth Collective. So we will make sure to link to her in the show notes for this one. But that definitely would be my number one establishing with a lactation consultant before.
And really, our society, we don't see enough people just breastfeeding, right? We see even bottle feeding. We don't see people feeding babies because it's kind of like, oh, hush, hush. And I remember feeling comfortable breastfeeding in public with my first, not as much with my second. And I think over the years now, it is becoming more and more prevalent. You're seeing more people. But, you know, humans learn by modeling, and they learn, you know, and if we're not seeing people give birth or we're not seeing people feed their babies naturally, then it can be a little daunting. And truly, if you've never done it before, it is not just like, you know, something you can pick up naturally sometimes. It's really, and every birth and every baby is different because of their mouth and because of your body and your circumstances. Like I said, my first baby, I had no issues. And my second baby, oh, now I had a business that I was not going to be working when I was taking time off. And there's a global pandemic going on. I mean, there was just so much more stress, and that absolutely affected my body. And I think a little bit maybe, you know, with my baby, there's some differences with her that her latch maybe that, you know, contributed. But that was, I think that's our top thing, you know, during pregnancy. And if you're trying to fill your time, especially at the end, when you're waiting for baby to arrive and you're off of work, hopefully before your due date, make that appointment with your lactation consultant. You will absolutely not regret it.
Yeah. Another thing I would, if I, you know, knowing what I know now going back, I would have wished that I came in for a pelvic physical therapy appointment. I knew a lot of the stuff because I'm your sister and you share all of that, but I think it would have been good for me to have a baseline of my pelvic floor, like a baseline internal exam. Right. So I know like where the things I need to watch out for. And I think also what is wonderful is how much education you do with patients before baby arrives, you know, to help, you know, get yourself over the finish line smoothly and then set them up for success with here's what to do postpartum. Like those first 6 weeks are so critical postpartum. And I think we have such a society focus on bouncing back after baby and getting your body back. And it's just so counterproductive to what actually is healthy for both you and your baby. And I think having a visit with a pelvic physical therapist like you would have really helped me, you know, as it like really put our minds to it, because you shared a lot of information, but I think really put our minds to it about like, I want to focus on my body and what I can do to support my body. That would be one thing I'd do differently too.
Yeah. And even if you're not having issues, it's so powerful to get that awareness of your body and that connection. It will absolutely serve you in birth, and it will serve you for lifelong pelvic floor health, right? So if you're in preconception or you're pregnant, I do highly recommend that too. I'm highly biased because this is what I do for a living, and I just see the benefits and I see the consequence if you don't do that and you don't, which again, we can always help you after the fact, but if there is that step to work with a pelvic PT, even one or two visits during pregnancy, it is incredibly helpful.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So. And so I have to say, like, so if you're like me, I probably would not have listened to this advice before I had my baby. I would have said, nope, I just have to work all the way up until the end because I really want as much of my maternity leave to be with my baby because you don't really know when the baby's going to come, right? So in that scenario, I think there's still so much that you can do. Like we talked about at the beginning of the episode, practicing like sitting and resting and just letting things go a little bit. It sounds silly, but I can't stress enough how hard it was to just sit for hours on end when you're used to being productive, when your partner maybe is able to get up and go and do things, or maybe they're going to work. Hopefully not. Hopefully they have a little paternity leave, but you know, the state of, you know, maternal healthcare in America is not that great. So they might have to go back to work and they're gone and you're by yourself with this baby and you literally sit, you know, for, so I think getting quiet, trying to even do meditation, even just slowing down a little bit. I know you talk about breathing with your patients. Mm-hmm. That's something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So all these things are so important to cultivate before your baby arrives. They will help you with that transition and your future self will thank you.
Yeah, so true. So true. Well, thank you so much for sharing everything, Amanda. I really appreciate that. And thank you everyone for listening. We hope this was helpful. And
yeah, we look forward to seeing you on a future episode.
Yay.
Take care.
Thanks so much.
This content is for educational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. Please discuss any questions you may have regarding your health or medical condition with your physician or a qualified healthcare professional. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests.